This morning we're going to be in the book of Matthew 28, a very familiar verse to you, Matthew 28, 18 and 19. This is going to be the conclusion of our series of the mission statement of Lindsay Lane, Missionary Baptist Church. I know that many of you have the copies of that, so that we might communicate who and what we are here at Lindsay Lane Baptist, but more than that, that we hold to the direction, the purpose that God has given us. Don't you love that you have a church home that you can come? How many of you got your favorite pew and your favorite spot? Now, some of you told me that you sit on this side and have sat on that one side for years and years and years. Well, you know what's interesting? We all have our mannerisms and things that we do. I haven't done it yet, but when I left Ozark Heights, and I'm going to tell you, you're all going to be like, oh, he does that all the time. I grabbed the pulpit on the side because I'm so excited, I want to throw something, but I'm trying to stand still so you can keep up with me. At Ozark Heights, I wore the varnish off the side of the pulpit. And of course, you know, I can't stay still. And I had a groove in the carpet where I would pace back and forth. We leave our impressions, don't we? Hopefully they're good impressions. Some impressions that we leave may be, I hope they never come back. And I get that a lot as a pastor. It's interesting when I go into different places and different settings that I keep quiet of who I am and I let them talk. And so they talk and, you know, people like to talk about themselves and I'm eager to listen. I like to hear people. I like to hear their story. I like to hear what they are and what they're about. And I like to hear it before they find out that I'm a pastor because I feel like I'm getting the real scoop. And then they say, well, what is it that you do? Conversation changes from that very second. Well, I do this, but I pastor at Lindsay Lane. But oh, you could just see them go white. I wouldn't have said all that stuff if I knew you were a pastor. I try to tell them I would like to know who you are and you not lie to me the whole time just because I'm a pastor. But we leave our impressions, don't we? We leave our impressions of where we go and what we do. We become creatures of habit. You know, I hope that when we come to God's house that we don't become creatures of habit. But we come with an intended purpose. We get so comfortable. In fact, some of us might even say that, well, we've had multiple generations of our family that have grown up right here. Well, there's a lot to be said in that, isn't there? Thank the Lord for the faithfulness of you raising your children, but now it becomes even a greater responsibility of those that have been raised to carry on the torch and to carry on that mission and that purpose. The responsibilities grow heavier as our elders continue to age. Lindsay Lane has been blessed by so many leaders that have been in their places and positions for so many years. My wife had taken up the church clerk position, and Sister Lolita was trying to add up all the multitude of years that she'd been serving in that. And it goes way back, doesn't it, Sister Lolita? And there's others that have been doing so many things, and Don and Carol and their work and decorating all these little things that they've done for so long. And Sister Carol said, I want to, but my back just won't do it anymore. And say, okay, where are we? And we have others that say, well, we'll help. Some of you cringe when I say your name. Well, I love you anyway. The Bible says to rebuke those who sin so that others will learn. He says also to praise those who are faithful because others must learn. I don't do those things to embarrass you. I do those things to set an example because we need to share. We have become such a society that I don't know why, but when we find something good, we want to hold it. We want to hoard it. We think by hoarding that it's going to protect us from something in the future. But the biblical example of God's love is just the opposite. The more of it that we give and the more that we express, the more we receive. God's love is not an item, but it's a conduit of a constant flow of eternal mercies of the God who loves us and cares for us and saved us. Now you're getting quiet on me. Don't get quiet now. We talked about the goodness of God. It's easy to talk about the goodness of God when things are good, but it's hard to sometimes to find that in amidst the trials and the difficulties and loss. But the goodness continues. Amen? So when we come to the scriptures today, I don't come to you with sentiment. I don't come to you with flowery feelings because they don't last. Because there are days that we wake up, we've been beat up, we've been drugged through the mud, and we've got nothing left. And yet God calls upon us to follow Him. And sometimes it may come out of your lips as it has mine, God, what else do you want from me? And the reality is He doesn't want from us. He wants us to simply surrender and take from Him and receive Him. That's the key. But how do we do that? Well, I just don't feel like that, Pastor. I just don't feel like I'm that Christian. Do any of us ever feel that way? Do ever any of us feel as though I've arrived and now I'm ready and I can do it all? We would like to feel that way, right? But we never fulfill that. You know why? You're not supposed to. Jesus already did. And so therefore, he draws us back to the Word again, draws us to the authority of who he is. We dig into the perfections of who he is, and we by faith trust in him. We apply that to our own lives as the very basis of what we are and who we are, and we act in faith. Not a faith that's based upon sentiment, but yet a faith based upon a reality of God's true, ever-enduring, immutable will and purpose for our life. Are you with me, church? We don't share because we're worthy. We share because he is worthy of all that we have and all that we are. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 and 19, Jesus is giving the Great Commission. Here in the immediate context is to the disciples. But folks, if you look back in Scripture, that is the building of the church. That is the material of the church. You realize that they were a body of baptized believers, definition of a church. They were called out, definition of a church. They even had a treasurer. He was a lousy one, but they had a treasurer. They were doing all the things that a church would do, witnessing and feeding the poor and ministering and going and sharing the gospel. They were the Lord's church, and so therefore this great commission is given to the Lord's church. Do you understand that? And he tells us there in verse 18, he reminds us, I'm going to send you out. He says, Jesus came and he spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore. He said, okay, now looking upon the very basis of what is a reality. Now the disciples are coming to the realization which he had been telling them all along that he's going to return to the Father. And they think, oh, they were torn up. They were brokenhearted over that. In fact, Jesus even tells them, I know you're upset, but it's for your good that I go so that the Comforter may come. And they thought, well, it can't get any better than just being with you. But yet it did. It did. It wasn't diminishing the quality of who Jesus was, but the purpose that he had designed that the Spirit would come and dwell within each and every believer. And we've seen that come on the day of Pentecost. As the Lord empowers his church to carry this out. But as he goes, before the giving of the Holy Spirit, he gives them a commission. So in verse 19, he goes, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. You know why? Because he is a resurrected Savior. He has claimed victory over every enemy that we will ever face. In fact, the Bible even says that he made a spectacle of them. You ever watch a lopsided competition in any sport? You know, sometimes I can remember playing as a kid in school. It was around 6th or 7th grade. And we played this team. I was on a traveling basketball team. And we were playing this team. And they were so much bigger and so much more advanced than we were that it was an embarrassment. In fact, they took pity on us, the coach did, and he put in all of his B-string, and we still got whooped. It was horrible. It was absolutely horrible. And in fact, it got so bad toward the end of the game, my coach even let me play. It was so bad. I was not the star on the team, just to let you know. Sometimes things just get so bad, it's obvious. But yet the victory is so great, it's obvious. That's what Jesus did. When he came up out of that grave, he came to claim and show the authority that he said he had. He proved it that day. Amen? So he says, now I'm going to send you. And in 19, he says, go therefore. Now, if you look at the direct translation of that, he says, as you are going. It wasn't a, well, if you go. Well, I hope that you go. But he says, as you're going. It's already determined you're going to go. Amen? You're going to go in the workplace. You're going to go to school. You're going to go to the grocery store. You're going to go wherever you have to go. And it was understood that as you go, you take this message. As you go, you take the love of Christ. as you go, you take the warnings of God's word so that others might hear and know what is ready, what is prepared, and what is coming. Several years ago, Brother Donnie Parrish came, the director of Life Word, and he came and he shared with us, when we understand the Great Commission, it changes everything. It changes everything of what we are and what we do. In fact, when we understand our mission, it will change our focus. Amen? Lindsay Lane, we understand what our focus is when we understand the commission that we have been given, the purpose that God has for us. We begin to prioritize of what is most important because we have been commissioned to go. When we understand our mission, it will change our finances. Some of you think, oh, careful, Pastor. Don't tell me how to spend my money. I am going to tell you how to spend your money. What do you think of that? Have I got your attention now? One of the funniest things that one of my pastor friends would share, he said, you know, I went to my church, and he said, they just weren't tithing to the Lord. And he said, I told him, I know what the problem is. And he had everybody just on the edge of their seats. You know, they're struggling financially, and it was a tough place that they were in, and they'd been praying for their pastor to go full-time, and he wasn't ready to go full-time because it just financially wasn't there. And he come to for the congregation, he says, I know the problem. I know the problem. He said, God has already given everything that we need. The problem is, it's still in your pocket. And I'm like, oh, you had the nerve to do that? And he goes, no, I didn't. He said, but the Lord just kind of kept pushing me, and I didn't want to say it, but I did. You know what? Several months later, he became their full-time pastor. Isn't it amazing when we get challenged by God and say, we have all that we need? Sometimes we say, well, God, I can't just go and be preaching. They're going to make fun of me, and they're going to call me names. Yes, they will. But didn't they do that to Jesus? But you know why he went? You know, sometimes we think that, well, what if I'm not ready? What if I don't have enough? The reality is, and can I remind you that he says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. We don't go on our abilities. We don't go based upon our finances. We don't give based upon what I have. We give according to his riches and glory. Amen? When we understand our mission, it changes everything. And then when we understand our mission, the last one is, it will determine our finish line. It will determine where we claim victory or a win in life. It was Jesus' mission, and now it's ours. Luke chapter 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. It was his mission. It was his purpose to come and to seek us. So now it is our mission also. In John chapter 17, verse 18, he says, as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. Do you know when Jesus said that? When he was praying for the disciples. It was right before his crucifixion. He was praying for himself that he would fulfill and faithfully do all that the God and Father, as they had worked together in eternity past to bring about redemption and salvation for all mankind. As he prayed for himself that he would glorify the Father, he then began to pray for the disciples, and then he began to pray for all future believers. He was praying for us, and in the process he said, Father, you have sent me, so therefore I send them. That's you. I send them. So as his mission was, is now our mission as his people. Why? Because God desires that all would be saved. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In 2 Peter, he's talking about the end time. The Lord delays his coming, and many think that he's just not coming. We've been hearing this all of our lives, and he hasn't come yet. But Peter reminds us that time is not a factor to God. Just because it's been long doesn't mean that he has forgotten. Amen? He's coming back. He said that he will come back. Everything that he has ever said he has done, and all this end time revelation, it will happen as well, my friend. But why does he delay his coming? Because he's long-suffering. You may think that, well, I don't like that. I wish you would come back and take care of all of these problems and difficulties now. He will. Do you know why he delays his coming? Do you know why he allows evil to continue for a while longer? Because he's long-suffering. What is long-suffering? Well, it simply means to persevere patiently and bravely in enduring misfortunes and troubles. It goes on and says to be patient in bearing the offenses and injuries of others. You know, we want God to be long-suffering with us, amen? But did you know that we're to be long-suffering with others too? In fact, so much so that we are brave in enduring misfortunes and troubles as we wait. That's no fun, is it? But it's our duty. The responsibility of every believer is evangelism. Evangelism is not just a responsibility, but it is a pleasure. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, he says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." Paul understood that as if it were God speaking directly to you through us. We come with a passion. We come with a desire. My friend, this is something that only God can implant within our hearts. If you find yourself not wanting to reach out to those that are lost, then my friend, we need to get on our knees as the Lord's church and say, "God, break my heart for those that are around us, that I may be softened and used of you. But more than that, that I may speak the words of love, to speak the words of pleading with those that are lost, and not angry, bitter, and self-serving." We're not only representatives as ambassadors, but we go with the authority of God's word. We go with his power. We go with his spirit. Too often we're afraid that I won't know what to say. My friend, can I encourage you? If you spend time in the Word with God, you ask God the Spirit to guide you. And in fact, Jesus told the disciples, when you stand before them in a court of law, take no thought for what you will say, for in the selfsame hour, the Spirit will reveal to you what to say. Now, many misinterpret that and say, "Well, I don't need to read. I don't need to study. The Spirit's just going to tell me what to say." That's not true, because he also tells us to be a good student of the Word, rightly dividing the Word of truth, right? "Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed." You spend the time with the Lord in your personal devotion, in your personal Bible reading, coming to Sunday school, coming to hear the preaching of the Word, and whatever Bible studies we offer to you, and we spend time in the Word, then the things that we say become as the gospel of Christ. It is our responsibility to warn those of the coming judgment that is to come. Ezekiel 3:18, "When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, that some wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand." Now the Lord was speaking directly to Ezekiel. You know why? Because God's judgment is true, and he will punish sin. But he is also a God of love. How do you mix the two? He sent his son Jesus to die and pay for that sin. But how will they know unless one goes? How will they know unless one presents the word to them? My friend, that falls to us, the Lord's church, to carry that out. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30, he reminds us that we are to share life. And the psalmist words it, or actually in the book of Proverbs, I'm sorry, Solomon words it this, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is what?" That's right, is wise. You know where that wisdom comes from? From God's Word. It comes from the Spirit of God. But you know, isn't it time that we become trees of righteousness, trees of life? Did you know that there's a lot of times that crops and those that will plant their crops in their fields, that there's certain crops that will leach everything out of the ground, and it becomes so destitute of minerals and nutrients that they plant another crop, that crop will actually put nutrients back into the ground. And then they can go back to the cash crop again. Are you with me? Which crop are you going to be? Are you just here to soak up and take from everyone around you? Are we going to fulfill the book of Proverbs and live and become a righteous tree and become a tree of life to those that are around us and those who are in need for Jesus? My last thought. there's a great rejoicing over one soul that comes to Christ. Luke chapter 15, verse 7. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. This was an example as the Pharisees were criticizing Jesus for going and meeting with sinners. Those dirty people. How could they ever go and be around them? That's what they were doing. But Jesus had much of a different purpose, didn't he? He wanted to share his love with them. He wanted to share life with them, that they might turn from their lifestyle and follow him. In fact, so much so that he was willing to leave the 99. Now, for a shepherd, this was something serious. If a lamb goes missing, that belongs to the master, and you are accountable for that one lost. So they would take the 99 and they would hedge them in. Two would stay behind and watch the sheep they would guard over, and then the other would go and leave them to go find the one that is lost. The passion that went with that, the sense of urgency that went with that, was very deep because of the value of the lamb, because of the value of the shepherd's job. All of this rests upon finding the lost sheep. But yet it's still so pale in comparison of the passion that Jesus has sought after you and I. As Jesus seeks each and every one of us, we now should return back to the mission field with that same passion. That's why I challenge you each day, and as I dismiss us in prayer, I ask the Lord, bless your people as we go to the mission field. Too many times we think that all missionaries are Brother Michael and Sharon Quillman that's in Africa. You got to go to Africa to go on the mission field. No, my friend, all you have to do is step outside these doors, drive off the parking lot. You are on the mission field. You are a self-support missionary in the Florissant, St. Charles, wherever you live. You're a self-support missionary. You understand that? That's what God has called us to do, to be as the ambassadors of Christ. But he doesn't call you to go on your own. He calls you to go upon the authority of his word. You know, when you sell things, salespeople. You know, I bought a great big encyclopedia set. I don't even remember the brand name. I mean, it was like leather bound. And I mean, I made payments on it a long time. I mean, it was a beautiful encyclopedia set. I think it had 120 volumes. I'm exaggerating, but it was huge. And, you know, then about 5 years later, I got this thing called a computer, and it's like, why do I have this big old pile of books on my bookshelf? Sometimes we sell things, and at the moment we think, oh, this is the greatest thing ever. I can't get it anywhere else. And then a few years later, it's like, that thing's in the way. It's so outdated. Don't need it anymore. Isn't it wonderful when we go and we share Christ? The world thinks, why in the world do you even offer that? Because, my friend, it never goes out of date. Too often they think that what we share is antiquity, when in reality, God is eternally ahead of us so far that we look like the antique. Amen? And he's trying to reveal to us to find a sense of urgency and to plead with others in such a way that as if Christ is pleading through us. Many of you shared today the goodness of the Lord. I'm going to ask you, are you willing to share that goodness with others so that they may know the goodness of the Lord? I've given you several things to think about, and I want to ask you a few questions as we close. Child of God, are we doing our part in the salvation plan as ambassadors of Christ, responsibly warning others of the judgment to come, pleading with others as if the Lord is speaking through us? Are we willing to set aside our feelings and pride and put ourselves out there? That's a challenge sometimes, isn't it? You know why? Because you're going to go right back to a place that they know who you are. Oh, how did you change? How did you become the goody two-shoes? How is it that now all of a sudden we've watched you up and down? Can I tell you, folks, that's part of your testimony. That's part of who you are. Sure, we've made mistakes, but you know what? There's one who has died for that. So let's live beyond that. Amen. Let them see what Jesus has done. Lindsay Lane, do we understand our purpose? Do we understand the mission well enough that it will shape our focus, our finances, and it will give us a finish line to strive for? We're going to bow our heads this morning. I thank you for coming. I thank you for being here. But more than that, I want to encourage you to share what Jesus has done for you. Too many times there's negative messages all over the place. May you be that tree of life that God has given us the opportunity to share with others. Let's bow our heads in prayer. This will be our dismissal prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy. We thank you. We have the privilege of going and sharing the love of Christ, that we can find joy in celebrating over those that are found, that come to find the salvation of the Lord Jesus, and their lives are transformed, that we can share in that. What a great joy that sets before us. But Lord, we know that there's a great deal of planting and sowing and a lot of toiling over in prayer and in tears over those that are lost. Lord, may we be willing to do the work that we may rejoice in the joy of seeing a soul saved. Lord, may we recognize the duty of what we have been called to, but may we recognize the power and authority that you bring to our lives and to the message that we present. Lord, don't allow us to get tired and negligent, or maybe even just growing cold and indifferent because of the bitterness that is around us. May we know the life, may we know the joy of being your children, being ambassadors of your message. And then as we go, may we see the great miracles of you working in and through our lives and in the lives of others. May we hear testimonies of others that come back and return next week to share of the open doors that you had brought, but yet greater than that, the reception of the testimonies that they share. And Lord, we will give you the honor and glory because it is all yours. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for sending us. And as we go into the mission field this morning, may we please you. May we find the joy of sharing Christ. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.